yawn.
I'm going to call the Monday, December 10th, 2012 County Commission Planning Meeting to order. Mr. Sterrett, would you like to establish a quorum, please?
Yes. Dave Stewart.
Present.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Steve Adams.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Rick Treese.
Here.
Sean Pingleton.
Here.
Randy Hayes.
Here.
Ronnie Melton.
Here.
Chairman, we have a quorum.
Okay, thank you. Would you like to explain the meeting procedures, please?
Yes. Public hearings are required and governed by the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held for each Division III application which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. At this time, I would like to enter the Taney County Development Guidance Code into evidence as Exhibit A, the staff report for each case as Exhibit B, and the staff file including all pertinent information for each case as Exhibit C, for all cases to be heard at the public hearing this evening. A staff report for each case will be read, followed by a video presentation of each site, followed by any questions for the staff. If you wish to comment at the public hearing, a sign-up sheet has been provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the public hearing begins. When it is your opportunity to speak, your name will be called. Please proceed to the podium at the front of the room in order to address the Planning Commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed directly to the Planning Commission and not to anyone in attendance in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. The public hearing shall be closed upon the conclusion of public comment. The regular meeting will be held 1 week from tonight's meeting. At that time, the projects will be reviewed and voted upon by the Planning Commission. The regular meeting is a public meeting. However, no additional public comments will be taken unless expressly requested by the Planning Commission. You may leave after your case has been heard. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I know I stated earlier I want to make sure that I know some folks came in after that, so this will be new to you. But a couple of things, if you want to speak tonight, there's sign-up sheets on each of the items. We'll give you an opportunity to do that in a minute. I'm going to jump ahead to Lemoyne Bed and Breakfast because I'm relatively certain that that has been withdrawn. Is there a representative here for Lemoyne Bed and Breakfast? Okay. That's what we thought. We got a message from the representative saying that that property had closed to another buyer before they had the opportunity. So that that has been withdrawn, and we are not going to hear that tonight, and it doesn't look like we're going to hear that at that property in the future from what we understand. That could change, but it doesn't seem to be the case. From everything we've got, they're going to close. So if you're here for that, you're welcome to stay. If not, now would be a great time to go ahead and exit if you want before we get started. Thank you for coming. Sorry you had to come over. While they're doing that, if there are other folks that are here for other reasons and you want to speak and you haven't signed up, now would be the time because we're gonna get those sign up sheets here as soon as they're exiting the room. You're fine. We've got you on the list, Mark. Unless you want to speak on something else, okay.
Which one, Juanita? Bud or McKissick?
I don't know if you all can hear me in the hallway, but I can hear you. If you want to visit, yeah, head on over to the neighborhood and have a barbecue.
McBud.
As soon as we can get them out of the hallway, we'll get started. But we'll start first with McKissick Residential Partners. I think that's Mr. Davis as the representative. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thanks.
Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get started. I think we're fine.
Okay, this is the case number 2012-20. The project is McKissick Residential Partners Nightly Rental for the Running Bear Lodge. Application is Linda McKissick, McKissick Rental Partners, and the representative is Tim Davis. This is a long-distance overview of the property. You can see it's this one right here, highlighted, that Bob's highlighted. Address 129 Spruce Drive, Ridgedale. Here's the same property. These two properties have already been brought through the process. This is the current property coming through. This one will be next, and this one was next week, I believe. Is that right, Bonita?
Yep. So we've got two that we're hearing tonight, and yep, then one that is in concept.
That one and this, okay, this
but one. But for now, we're talking about that one that your cursor's over.
Correct.
Okay.
A little bit of background and site history. The Division 1 permit number 2003-201 was issued on June 3rd, 2003 for the construction of approximately 1,408 square foot single family residence. The property is served by a community well and an individual septic system. Per the information contained within the septic permit file, the on-site wastewater treatment system was sized for a two-bedroom home. The current application was approved for concept on November 19th, 2012. In the general description, the subject's property, approximately 29,000 square foot lot, contains approximately a 1,408 square foot single family residence as per the assessor's information, located at 129 Spruce Drive, Ridgedale, Missouri, known as lots 71, 72, and 73, block 63 in Ozarks Paradise Village, South Edition. The residence is currently being advertised as the Running Bear Lodge via rentbransoncabins.com as a three-bedroom, two-bathroom cabin. This is a north view of the property. This is a south view. And if I'm going too fast, let me know.
You're doing good.
East view and the west view. Staff review, the Taney County Development Guidance Codes defines nightly rental as a residential building structure or part thereof that may be rented for a period of less than 30 days. Currently, the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater. The exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. During the concept hearing, the representative indicated the property in question has been operating as a nightly rental for the last 5 years and will accommodate up to 8 people. The property is currently served by a community well and on-site wastewater treatment system. The septic permit indicates that the on-site wastewater treatment system was designed to serve a two-bedroom home. However, the floor plans indicate that a third bedroom is located in a loft area. Scott Sterrett, along with the on-site wastewater permitting division, has indicated the septic permit shows 900 square feet of trench. A three-bedroom home sleeping 8 people would require 1,200 square feet of trench if built today. There was some confusion between the state, counties, and leach pipe manufacturers on the square footage reduction factor for using SB, and that should be 2, SB2 pipe and peanut pipe. Mr. Sterrett's recommendation is to let the owner be aware the system needs to be watched for signs of failure and regular pumping to maintain the system. Per the state health department regulations, our office cannot require the wastewater treatment system to be upgraded unless grossly undersized until such time that evidence of septic failure presents itself. The residence is in compliance with the setback requirements. The existing parking area meets the requirements of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, which requires a total of 2 parking spaces, 1.5 spaces per 2-bedroom dwelling unit, with 1/2 space added for each additional bedroom. The only adjoining single-family residence is located to the southwest at 134 Walnut Drive. Therefore, the staff recommends that buffering be provided between the property in question and this adjoining residence to the southwest. On April 16, 2012, the Planning Commission approved a request by Valerie Budd authorizing the utilization of existing cabin at 150 Walnut Drive, Ridgedale, Missouri, for nightly rental within the same subdivision as the current request. On October 15, 2012, the Planning Commission approved a request by Gary McSpadden Ministries authorizing the utilization of existing single-family residence located at 956 Jones Road, Ridgedale, Missouri, for nightly rental, also within the same subdivision as the current request. This project received a total of negative 6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 39. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission: compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, compliance letters from Western Taney County Fire Protection District and the Taney County Assessor's Office and Missouri Department of Revenue, including all other entities which have requirements governing a development of this nature, shall be provided to the Planning Department Office, Chapter 11 and 12. A valid merchant's license via the Taney County Collector's Office shall be provided to the Planning Department if the application owns more than one nightly rental property. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. This decision is subject to all existing easements. A 25-foot wide vegetation buffer shall be maintained between the nightly rental structure and the adjoining residence to the southwest.
I want to stop you right there.
Okay.
Is that a request of the applicant that you're just requiring the vegetative buffer and not the fence?
No, I talked to Bob about that a little bit on another one, and he indicated that the fence was okay too.
Okay. Well,
that's not what
that says. But that's not what that says.
But yeah, I couldn't answer if Bob just said.
Of course, this is your suggestion.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
So next week.
Right. You all will deal with that next week. Continue.
Okay, 7. This residence shall accommodate sleep no more than 12 persons per night. The total occupancy may be further limited based upon the provisions of the Western Taney County Fire Protection District's requirements and regulations. If the on-site wastewater system shows any signs of failure, it shall be upgraded, ensuring the capacity for the three-bedroom home and or the maximum number of persons that will be accommodated via nightly rental, whichever is greater. This upgrade, the on-site wastewater system, shall be permitted via the Taney County Planning Department in conjunction with the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services. The decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. That's Chapter 2, Item 6.
Okay. Do you have...
And then we've got a short video of the property.
Scott, could you point out where that fence is to be?
That's what I was just getting ready to ask.
That's the one.
I mean, we're running in circles here, and I don't know which.
Well, I know. Neighbors, we're going back to the overhead.
And give us a visual toward the house to the southwest.
I think I can see it here on
the
picture.
Isn't that what you want?
Yeah. And then that'll tell us.
There's already a fence there.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where
and
the fence
is. And there is 25 foot of...
It's from the north, and the southwest is going to be... Yeah, there's a fence here, but that's not a real tall fence.
No. It's more of a picket fence.
Yeah, it's more of a picket fence.
Wanting to know.
Generally speaking, according to our code, you can do either the fence or the vegetative buffer, which there's probably 25 foot.
It looks like there is a, yeah.
On the west side, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's the west.
But
this is viewed from the south.
The other rentals I'm not concerned with.
Right, and that's this and this.
Yeah. So where's the residence?
It'd have to be this one.
Well, that's what I would call it. So that's where the fence is going to need to be to the back of the property.
Just on the back side.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it appears there's about that 25-foot of vegetation, okay. I mean, without knowing.
Right.
Okay. Continue. All right. I think...
Yep, that's it.
We only have one person signed up to speak tonight. Before we go any further, I know that we had somebody come in a little later. We've got, if you do want to speak tonight, we've got the McKissick Residential, McBud Vacation Rentals, Mountain Country Propane, Bulk Plant, and Crawford's Towing.
Crawford.
And what's your name?
Frida Sindor.
Okay. Okay. Sure, no problem. Mr. Davis, as you're the only one signed up to speak tonight, I don't recall if there were any questions we had for you last time that you may want to bring to our attention, but
on this one there were not.
Okay.
But I think all the information that I have has been covered in the presentation that the staff has already presented to you.
Okay. Anything that you want to ask of the representative?
Let's go back on your slide there.
The overview or
summary on number seven.
The summary?
Yeah.
The summary.
Yeah. I'm like Steve, I've got a concern about there being 12 people in there in a
14-8.
This
square feet.
Yeah, and being and the rules and regulations that we're talking about and presented to the commission to be voted in as a planning and zoning regulation.
Yeah, well, it's only rented for eight. And
so there's a typo there.
They have not asked to rent it for any more than eight.
So that needs to be eight?
Yeah,
actually, there's two bedrooms, right? And we made a loft a bedroom, supposedly, but it's not
a loft. Right?
And a loft.
Yeah, two bedrooms and a loft.
It could be as many as eight if you figured the loft is a bedroom, but stated in the tax records that it's only a two-bedroom, and it's got sewer for a two-bedroom.
Right. You all can ask the representative how they feel about taking that down to
six. If that's a regulation.
But that's really your call next week.
Right. That's just a question I'm wanting to know that might come up.
Okay. Then feel free to ask it.
Don't you think, Steve, isn't that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, because right here it says home sleeping eight people. Your next one is for 12, isn't it? I'm pretty sure.
It's bigger.
Yeah.
But this one's just eight.
We had a public meeting last week that dealt with nightly rentals, and that's kind of what we're discussing as part of that, Mr. Davis. We're trying to probably be consistent, although this is not in our code book yet. But one of the things we looked at was basically number of bedrooms plus two. Each person... two people to a bedroom plus two others, and so I think that's what they're.
That's going to come up.
Or sleeping rooms.
That's reasonable. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that may be a typo because the next one's 12. So
I would suggest for next week, just so that's not missed, that you change it to eight, or and then you all can make a decision next week if you think that's the right number on that. So, any questions? Okay, let's move on. Then you're still here, so just stay. The next one is McBud Vacation Rentals.
This is case number 2012, number 25. McBud Vacation Rentals, nightly rental. It's the Deer Tracks Lodge. Valerie Budd and Linda McKissick, McBud Vacation Rentals, LLC. And the representative is Tim Davis. And here's our overview. There's our house. And if you got any questions, this is the one we just talked about right here. And we're here now, so. Applications Valerie Budd and Linda McKissick are requesting approval of a special use permit in order to utilize an existing single family residence for nightly rental. And you've looked at that one. Background and site history, Division 1 permit number 2003, number 30 was issued on January 17th, 2003 for construction of an approximately 2,000 69-square-foot single-family residence. The property is served by a community well and individual septic system. The current application was approved for concept on November 19th, 2012. General description of the property. The subject's property, approximately 11,600-square-foot lot, contains an approximate 2,069-square-foot single-family residence as per the assessor's information. Located at 924 Jones Road, Ridgedale, Missouri, known as Lots 8 and 9, Block 53 in Ozark Paradise Village, South Edition. The residence is currently being advertised as the Deer Tracks Lodge via the rentbransonscabins.com as a three-bedroom, three-bathroom cabin. This is the north view, the south view, the east view, and the west view. In review, the Taney County Development Guidance Code defines nightly rental as a residential building structure or part thereof that may be rented for any period of less than 30 days. Currently, the applicant would have the ability to rent the residence for a period of 30 days or greater. The exterior appearance of the single-family home will remain the same. During the concept hearing, the representative indicated that the property in question will accommodate up to 12 people. The property is currently served by a community well and an on-site wastewater treatment system. Scott Sterrett with the on-site wastewater permitting has indicated that upon reviewing septic permit number 0317, it's difficult to determine the exact square foot of trench that was installed. The soil evaluator calls for 240 square feet per bedroom. However, it looks like there's 400 to 600 square feet of trench. For a three-bedroom home with 12 people, it would require 1,440 square feet of trench, or something advanced if the site is limited. The soils evaluation was a 0.5 gallons per day per square foot. The square footage of the trench is close to the amount needed for a three-bedroom home. And there is also some confusion at the time of installation between the state, counties, and leach pipe manufacturers on the square footage of reduction factor for using SB2 pipe and peanut pipe. Mr. Sterrett's recommendation is let the owner be aware the system needs to be watched for signs of failure and regularly pumped to maintain the system. The property is currently served by a circle drive off Spruce Drive. However, the lot 7, block 53 in Ozark Paradise Village, South Edition, containing the circle drive, is not currently owned by the applicants. The representative has indicated that the property owner of the lot containing the circle drive will provide the applicant with a recorded easement containing the existing circle drive. The residence is in compliance with setback requirements. The existing parking area meets the requirements of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, which required a total of two parking spaces, 1.5 spaces per two-bedroom dwelling unit and a half space added for each additional bedroom. We have the same adjoining two properties, Valerie Budd at 150 Walnut, and then the same ones we read before, Gary McSpadden. The only adjoining residence located at 906 Jones Road is also seeking the approval of nightly rental via a Division 3 special use permit application. Therefore, per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would not be required. This project also scored a negative 6 on the policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 39. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of emergency water supply, solid waste disposal service, and use compatibility.
I'm going to hit the highlights for us here on what's different.
This one is number 6, recorded copy of ingress-egress easements located on Lot 7, Block 53 in Ozark Paradise Village, South Edition, which is containing the existing circle drive, shall be provided to the planning department.
Okay.
And then this one is the residence shall accommodate sleep no more than 12.
Okay, everything else?
I think everything else
1
is
through
the same.
9 is the same as the last.
Correct.
Is everybody okay with that? Instead of reading through those one by
yep.
one? I figured you would be. I just in lieu of time. So, okay, so the big one there is, and I think we had that question last time on November 19th about the
And he's also got a video on that.
Okay.
There's your circle drive.
You know, while you're looking at that, and if you could weigh in your opinion, that would be great on what I'm getting ready to say. So, technically, even though you're going to get an easement for the driveway, it's still going to be I don't see any reason to put buffering between there. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. But technically, as per our code, it still should show there. I'm of the opinion that you'll have to go to the Board of Adjustment to have them waive that.
Okay.
We can't really go outside of our code.
Sure.
That's what I believe. Now, if you believe differently, I would love to hear that. I don't want to, you know, I mean, we wrote the code for...
But doesn't that state between a residence?
Well, that is, what is that lot?
It's just a lot.
It's a residential lot, right? I mean, it's a subdivision.
Well, it's a lot, yeah.
It's never actually been zoned.
It's not, so is it agriculture?
It'd be a lot.
It's between anything of lesser use.
But I thought it said a residence.
Yeah. I think it's going to be so small.
I think it's residential.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's how it reads in the code. But if it doesn't, I mean, I see no reason to put that there.
Right.
But I don't think we can go outside of our code to do that. That's for the Board of Adjustment to do. Mm-hmm. Make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
So you may have to take that extra step to do that.
Okay.
Sorry?
Yes. No.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
I know one of maybe the biggest concern last time, I think, was this half-circle driveway that comes in is actually on Gary McSpadden's land. And so I talked to Valerie Budd and said, can you talk to Gary and get an easement from him? What Gary sent us was just written permission to use the driveway, which probably being lay people, they probably didn't understand the difference between written permission to use it and an actual easement that you could record with the recorder. So I have to go back to Gary. I just got that written permission this week, so I have to go back to Gary and ask him if he'll actually fill out an actual easement rather than just giving us permission in writing
okay.
to use the driveway.
Yeah, I think that would be best. I think that's what we would like to see is an actual easement for that. And then the other part of that is it looks like, you know, we really can't go outside of our code, so you need to go to the Board of Adjustment to get them to waive the... Mm-hmm.
One thing that might be considered on the vegetative buffer is under Taney County's planning and zoning system, land is not actually zoned in the statutory sense of being zoned. Instead, people are asked to come to the P&Z Commission to get a special use permit,
right,
basically for a broad range of activities. And so it's as a purely legal matter, that small strip where the driveway is at is not actually zoned residential. It isn't actually zoned anything. It's just if we...
Was it subdivided before we had planning and zoning? And it may have been down there.
Yes, it was subdivided
more than
50 years
that's
ago.
That's what I thought, as small as those are. So in that case, it wouldn't fall under any of that.
Yeah.
So I think you'll be fine. Yeah. Hey, if it was subdivided after we had planning and zoning, then it would show up
right.
as residential.
Right.
But it was in either 1940s. It was
I know a lot of that was subdivided way before.
1940s or 50s.
Okay. Then if everybody else is okay with that.
I think it's just so small that it couldn't have any residential built on it anyway. So
right.
I think you're absolutely right.
Okay, I just want to make sure we weren't going outside of our code to approve that. So it sounds like we're fine on that. So that's just one last step you'll have to...
Somebody needs to refresh me. I'm sure we've discussed it, and I'm just so dumb I've forgotten it. But about the water, it says on wells and one thing and another. How many lots are on a well, or what kind of... What is the water situation here?
I know several of the houses share a well, so there may be more than one well in the subdivision, and I don't know how many houses are sharing any particular well.
Because I'm not sure we can regulate that, but I hate to see wells get where you get a dozen houses on a well, and nobody wants to fix it when the pump goes bad or there's no maintenance, and that's more of a danger than a lot of other things if you get bad water. It concerns me. I don't know what exactly our jurisdiction is, but I mean, the current regulations, you're no more than 3 homes on a well. But that's what I was wondering about this, because this goes back for a while, and you'll have these little old associations, you know, and they'll have about 10 people on the well. One old boy takes care of it, and then he dies, and nobody knows what happened or what's going on. And first thing you know, and nobody maintains a well or well house, and then you get contaminated water.
Well, obviously, you're really versed in that, Dave. I know that, but is there anything? There's really nothing in our code as far as.
I'm trying to think of something, but I haven't come up with
okay.
it yet.
Okay. So more of a comment or concern at this time?
I think it's more of a comment and a concern, and it is something that if people will take care of themselves and address, it'll probably be all right. But the thing about it is trying to get somebody to even pay the water bill on the thing, you know, and form an association. And it's a concern because it can really lead to a lot of problems. I've seen it happen lots of times. And so I don't know. You know, you hate to approve a whole lot of other stuff with something bad out front leading it to me. I mean, and I'll shut up. That's my concern.
Okay. Noted. Anything else?
I got a question about number 7 on the summary there. Again, 12 people. It's a 3-bedroom home. Wouldn't that be 8 people?
If we pass what we talked about last week, goes through the...
Yeah.
Didn't our whole part of the code state that, too?
There wasn't anything. There's nothing in the code now. That's why we had the meeting last week.
Okay. We just need to keep that on that as a concern, my opinion.
Now, shall the commission adopt what we recommended?
We don't know.
We can still stipulate that as a concern.
Yeah, we can.
We can't go back, but you can stipulate that however you want.
You can ask there's a condition before approval on this project.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. This summary is just that. It's a suggestion of staff that you guys are, you can make any changes you want to that. So are there only 3 bedrooms in this?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
If we're going to do anything, we're going to have to do it.
Yep.
That's right. Next week would be the time that you would do that.
Yeah, I think so.
On your request of approval, if you choose to approve it.
And that's, yeah. I mean, whether the commission adopts it or not, we can make this stipulation.
Right.
Well, I think we have justification because we think that's where the code's going, as far as we know. I think it's
so you might note that, Mr. Davis. That is what we're looking at.
I made a note on it.
Okay. Anything else? Okay, this one's closed. We'll see you next Monday.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda, I think, is Mountain Country Propane. I've covered my agenda up somewhere. There. Mountain Country Propane Bulk Plant, and I know the representatives are here. I saw them earlier.
Paper Reduction Act.
We also have some other folks signed up to speak. How we'll do this is we generally let the applicant speak first, so they may answer some of the questions you have that way, and then we'll let whoever else has signed up to speak, and then we'll have the applicant come back up to answer any questions that we have written down from you all or that the commission has. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is case number 2012, number 21, Project Mountain Country Propane Bulk Plant. The applicant is M.H. and Linda Britton. Representative is Sean Treat, Mountain Country Propane Company. Here's our overview. It's Highway 76, the BV Highway. I guess everybody pretty much knows what we're talking about, right? Okay. Here's a close-in overview. Background and site history. The subject property consists of approximately 4.26 acre leased area located within an approximate 6.64 acre meets and bounds description tract of land. The current application was approved for concept on November 19th, 2012. General description. The Mountain Country Propane Company is proposing to lease an approximately 4.26 acre area of approximately 6.64 acre meets and bounds described tract of land to be utilized as a fully 2011 compliant propane bulk plant. The representative is seeking the approval of a Division III permit allowing for the installation of the propane bulk plant to consist one 18,000-gallon propane bulk tank and one 30,000-gallon propane bulk tank, a storage shed, and an area that would be used for outside storage of a number of residential and commercial ASME propane tanks ranging in size from 120 gallons through 1,000 gallons. The representative has indicated that the two bulk tanks will be mounted and secured on concrete piers and secured within a 6-foot fence topped with razor wire. The plant will have dusk to dawn security lighting that will illuminate the entire fenced area. The shed will be utilized to house parts and fittings. The representative has indicated that an on-site office building is not proposed at this time. The Missouri Propane Gas Commission has completed a site inspection of the property, which has been approved for the storage of two propane bulk tanks. The adjoining property immediately to the north and east is agricultural, and the adjoining property to the south is State Highway 76 in the Skyview Heights residential subdivision. The adjoining property immediately to the west is light residential. This would be our north view of the property. Here's our subdivision, Highway 76. South view, east view, and then the view from the west, again 76. And here's our subdivision and the area. The review, per the provisions of Section 1.6 of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, a landscaped buffer is required between any residential land used, whether those uses are single or two-family manufactured home parks, multifamily residential, or any other residential land use, and any other non-residential land use, such as commercial or industrial, but not agricultural. Section 9.2.4 of the Development Guidance Code states that the development will provide a buffer zone between any use and single-family residential that exists at the time of a permit is issued for a land use change or a Division II permit. Per the provisions of Section 6.1.3 of the Development Guidance Code, the required buffer shall be a minimum of 25 feet in width and may consist of existing indigenous plants, material left in undisturbed state. However, this section of the Development Guidance Code further allows a privacy fence, wall, landscaped earthen berm, or other screening device found to be appropriate by the Planning Commission may be utilized in lieu of the required 25-foot-wide landscape buffer. The representative has indicated that the property owner is in the process of removing both the existing mobile home in the recreational vehicle from the parcel in question. Therefore, per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, buffering would not be required along the east side of the property because there will not be an existing residence located to the east requiring buffering. The applicant has indicated that the existing tree line along the western portion of the property will be preserved. The applicant has stated that this tree line falls within the property in question inside of an existing fence line. The property immediately to the north will not require buffering because it is agricultural. Per the provisions of Appendix K of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, recreational vehicle or outside storage parking areas should have a security fence and lighting. The staff recommends that all light sources within the facility are arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site towards the residential resident areas or main roadways. The staff has received a copy of a compliance letter from the Central Taney County Fire Protection District indicating that preliminary approval for your bulk storage facility on Highway 76 east of VV Highway is hereby granted contingent upon receipt and review of fully engineered site plans. Said plans must be delivered to Central Taney County Fire Protection District office at 8118 East Highway 76, Kirbyville, Missouri, 65679. A copy of the fire district letter has been provided in the packet. The propane bulk storage plant will be served by a commercial driveway with a cul-de-sac style of turnaround off State Highway 76. applicant has indicated that the propane bulk storage plant will not have an on-site office facility and therefore will not require the provisions of water or sewer services. The project received a score of 11 on a policy checklist out of a maximum score of 35. The relative policies receiving a negative score consist of use, compatibility, and utilities. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, following requirements shall be applied unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. Compliance letters from Central Taney County Fire Protection District, including a final letter from the district upon review of fully engineered site plans. A copy of both the site inspection and final approval from Missouri Propane Gas Commission. The existing mobile home and RV shall be removed from the parcel in question. And a 25-foot wide vegetation buffer shall be maintained between the propane bulk storage plant and the adjoining residence to the west. The propane bulk storage plant shall have security fencing and lighting in place. All lighting sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site towards adjacent residential areas or any roadways. This decision is subject to all existing easements. A Division II permit shall be required for all applicable structures within the development, as per Chapter 3, Section 1, Item B. And this decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire. That's Chapter 2, Item 6.
Okay.
Yep.
You have a video for us? Oh.
Sean's Bob's got a secondary video that just shows the buffering on the west. It's real short.
Okay.
We're looking north. There's a residence. That's the end of that one. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Our representatives are here, so why don't you guys tell us what it is you're doing.
What we're proposing is, like he said.
I'm going to get your name. I'm sorry.
Sean Treat.
Thanks, Sean.
What we're proposing is installing a fully compliant 2011 bulk plant, 18,000 gallon storage tank with a 30 plumbed together, you know, for residential supply.
Okay.
We'll have two bobtails, you know, servicing, you know, off that property. The property also will be our tank yard, where we will have, you know, a variety of ASME tanks sitting there. Waiting for set to the residential or commercial base.
Okay.
We will have a transport that will come in and out, obviously to fill the two bulk plants, or the two tanks, and that's basically the only commercial to be in and out of there. That's it in a nutshell.
The delivery trucks that deliver the tanks or whatever?
They will come in and out, you know, as we need to fill, but the transport will be the only other, you know, major vehicle through the property.
Hours of operations. How early in the morning will the trucks be getting there?
Anywhere from you know, 6 o'clock in the morning until 8 o'clock at night, typically.
So 6 a.m. to 8 p.m.,
yeah,
basically.
Somewhere in that range.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
I think that's it. I mean, it's pretty simple.
Okay, let's start there. I know we've got, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay, we've got one other folks signed up to speak, Lori Loback. I'll let Lori come up and speak, and we'll see if she's got some questions for you guys. So if you just want to have a seat.
I'm Lori Loback, and I live in Skyview Heights right there. And it is not a thick vegetation buffer. You can see it over there. I don't know if you guys have ever been by Primetime to see where they're located, but it looks like a junkyard. It's all scattered all over the place. Their traffic is heavy with their trucks. I'm always behind them when I'm going in Primetime. Our school bus stop is right in front of there. We already have a busy intersection at Power Site. The school bus, our elementary school, is right over there. We have tons of kids in the apartment building right across the street from where they're staying. We already have a huge problem in Kirbyville with junk. If you've ever been next to Hilltop Gas Station, you will see what we're dealing with the trailers. We don't need any more junky-looking stuff. We can't sell our homes in that subdivision. Some of those people have been sitting there 4 and 5 years. We can't get anybody to move into Kirbyville. There's nothing to bring people to Kirbyville. The last thing we need is more junk. And I'm sorry, but propane tanks all around look like junk. And go next to Hilltop Gas Station, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And you can put buffers, you can put whatever, but we got kids, school buses, and we just don't need it. We don't need it. We have 25 homes in there. We're trying to keep we keep our waste plant nice. We keep the sewer plant. We all keep our homes nice. We try to keep the renters out. We pay a lot of money to live in there with our subdivision and our sewer plant. And we've already dealt with the man across the street with all of his stuff, the Branson Carriage Man. And we don't need this. They need to take it somewhere else. We're trying to sell our homes, and we're trying to keep everything nice. And you come into Kirbyville, and we don't have any beautiful scenery. We just have junk. And so I hope you all consider that.
Thank you. Sean, would you like to come back up? Does the commission have any specific questions for the applicant?
It would be a new commercial entrance. It will come in from this section right here, and the bulk plant will be in this area. Come in, it's going to be a circle drive. It's going to come in, circle back around, and come right back out the same exit.
Do we have a site plan? Have you seen a site plan?
Last week's stuff.
It was in last week's stuff. Did you all provide us with the site plan?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
It's just not real clear, but... has that already been okayed by the state?
Yes. Yeah. The driveway, yes. Yeah. Mike Britton has the permits. Yes.
And he's going to do away with the residences on the property that's
yes.
there now?
Yeah. The mobile home has not been vacant for, or occupied for years.
But it's going to go away.
It's going to go away, and so is the RV.
Well, it will be true if they get a permit.
It'll have to move it.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, that mobile home people have been living in it.
Well, it don't matter, I mean.
As far as the request goes, part of that may be required that it's vacated if it's approved. One of the questions that Ms. Loback brought up that I want to reiterate, you guys already mentioned it, but I want to make sure that I've got this right. All of your equipment storage will be behind a fenced area?
The two bulk plants.
The two bulk
tanks will be behind.
So what are your plans with the other tanks?
The other tanks are going to go back in the far corner, back over into this area. And I understand what she's saying. Okay, and I'm not putting anything against what she's saying. We recently purchased this company back in July. And I'm going to be honest with you, it is kind of a disarray. Okay? My job is to correct that, and by doing that is by kind of being a piece of property where I can organize these tanks in some kind of order, but right now I don't have the ability to do that because I don't have the space.
So your plan, though, today is not to fence that part off?
No, it's going to be in the far back corner of the property.
Okay. And then But so the fenced area that we were talking about were for the 18,000 and the 30,000 tanks?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, are you going to have to fence where those other bottles are at, those other tanks, to keep people out of there? They're going to have, according to the way I read this, he's going to be repainting them, burning gas off of them, and storing them there. That's going to need to be under a fence.
That is certainly something that the commission could add to the request. Generally speaking, when we talk about fences, the only thing I believe we have in our code is for buffering. And if you all feel like that needs to be buffered, then you certainly could add that to the summary, which it's not currently on the summary, but next week on a decision, if you choose to approve it, you could add that part in there.
You're talking about the small tanks or the big tanks?
Small tanks. If you're going to have those tanks around, sitting out there in that field, and anybody can just walk in to them, your application says you're going to be burning gas off of them and repairing them. That's just going to be open to whoever wants to walk in there. That needs to be in the fence. You need a fence big enough to cover whatever bottles you're going to have, as well as your two storage tanks.
And you're talking about, as long as they're going to do that, they might as well be buffered somehow, which could be a chain link fence with the privacy slats in them. Probably be
that. And that would do away with any growth bumper that they'd have to have.
Right. And in lieu of the 25
foot. Yeah, in lieu of the 25 foot. They're going to have to put I'd suggest a chain link fence around there, or slats at it, where those bottles and everything are all enclosed inside, where people get this.
Even on the roadside.
Yeah.
Well, the roadside's going to be, I mean, there's going to be an entrance.
Yeah, but it could be a gated entrance, because it's not commercial.
But you don't want the fence so close to the road that it slows traffic from turning in there. I mean, you want the fence.
The gate would have to be deep enough to park an 18-wheeler.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you guys choose to.
Set back to where you could get in there, but not get in where the tanks are all
right. And we talked about this a little bit during concept, exactly how we were going to look at doing that. Mm-hmm. And that is a concern of ours as a commission, both from a security standpoint, but really more from a buffering standpoint.
I had thought about that some, and I understand your concerns. You look at Titan Propane sitting there on 65 Highway, and they virtually have nothing.
Yeah, I can't think of another bulk plant.
And you look at Town and Country just north of town here, and I know what they have. They keep it real neat, but I cleared their yard for them where their tanks set in the back and stuff like that, and they do their repainting and stuff like that. And I'm not suggesting what to do with this one at all. I'm just saying what we already have here and what is existing, you know. And
okay,
maybe we need to improve. I don't know. But on the other hand, sometimes I wonder if we need to improve at the expense of somebody else and let the other go.
Well, of course, we didn't have anything to do with approving Titan or those locations. But what we've done with other
businesses. Well, I beg your pardon, I did.
Is we've always required, whether it's trucks parked in a business or something, we've always required that to be inside that fence.
Titan was approved many years ago, but
it's been the
commission when it was approved.
It's been the practice of the commission for at least the last 6 or 7 years.
I'm going back farther than that.
Well, I know, but I can only speak
for
what we do now, not what we did then.
I was there and it went through approval.
Right.
Well, I'd like to see a fence around whatever they're going to have bottles in.
Okay. Well, let's do this. That's actually a discussion for next week.
Yeah.
When you all are making your decisions, if you've got any more questions for the applicant, then let's do that now, because this is the public hearing, and then you all can discuss that.
It's on a question
I've got. So there may be those concerns.
I've got one more question.
Yes, sir.
It's not really has anything to do with anything. But mm-hmm. Where are you going to have your office? Where are people going to go to pay their
bill? The office is still going to be, you know, closer to Branson. It's actually 889 East Highway 76, Suite A.
Okay, so in a business.
It's in a business.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Okay. Any more questions? Hey, you've heard some of the concerns we have, and I'm sure we'll discuss that next week. If you have any suggestions, you might get with staff in the meantime.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close that one, and the next one for tonight is Crawford's Towing. Do we have a representative here for Crawford's?
Okay, Sean, this is case number 2012, number 22, Crawford's Towing Expansion. Applicant is Paul Simon, Golden Years Retirement Plan. And the representative is John Anderson, Crawford's Towing LLC. This is our site overview. This is Highway 65. Of course, north, south. Our local property right here is off of Bee Creek Road, Reinhardt. Does everybody kind of know where we're at? Crawford's
yep.
Towing's right here. So, okay. Location's 100 block of Calvin Drive, Branson, Missouri. Request, the representative John Anderson is requesting the approval of a Division 3 permit to allow for the expansion of the existing Crawford's Towing business onto the adjoining property located immediately to the west. And it did not highlight this very well. Bob, let me know, but it's this piece of property right here.
Okay.
They currently own this one right here, and it would adjoin into that one. Background and site history. The subject's property is an approximately 16,000 square foot parcel of property described as a portion of plot 6 and 7 of the Arthur Hall subdivision. Current application was approved for concept on November 19, 2012. This is a close-up of the property. General description. Crawford's Towing is proposing to purchase the approximately 16,000 square foot parcel of land to be utilized as parking for the existing business located at 1919 Bee Creek Road. It's immediately to the east. The representative is seeking the approval of a Division 3 permit allowing for the expansion of the towing business onto the parcel in question. The representative has indicated that the parcel of property will allow for a parking area for both employees and customers. The adjoining property immediately to the north, south, and west is residential. The adjoining property immediately to the east is commercial. This is our north view, and the property is highlighted on this one. South view, view from the east, and a view from the west. The representative has indicated that a privacy fence will be installed around the perimeter of the property in order to screen the proposed parking area from the adjoining residents. An opening will be provided in the fence, allowing for a drive-through from the existing business. Per the provisions of Appendix K of the Taney County Development Guidance Code, recreational vehicle or outdoor storage parking areas should have a security, fencing, and lighting. The staff recommends that the parking area be lit, but that all light sources within the facility are arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site towards adjacent residential areas or any roadways. The representative has indicated that the property in question will be utilized strictly for parking. No structures are proposed as part of this current application. The primary access to the parking area will be via a drive from the existing Crawford's Towing business on Bee Creek Road. However, the representative is requesting to utilize the existing drive off Calvin Drive as a gated secondary access to the property. The project received a score of a negative 22 on policy checklist out of a maximum possible score of 11. The relative policies receiving a negative score consisted of off-site nuisance, emergency water supply, use compatibility, and outdoor equipment storage. In summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code. A 6-foot-tall opaque privacy fence shall be provided around the north, south, and west property lines between the parcel in question and the adjoining single-family residence. The parking area shall have a security fencing and lighting in place. All light sources within the facility shall be arranged so that no direct illumination leaves the site towards adjacent residential areas or any roadway. This decision is subject to all existing easements, and the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval shall expire.
You got a video for us?
Oh, yep. I do.
So if this is approved, the intent of that lot, would we graveled?
Or yes, what? Inside, surely. It would probably have to be. If not, we'd have a mess.
I mean, it looks like a mess. It would look like it would be a mess if you didn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would want to gravel everything inside the privacy fence.
Then we're looking north. We're on the south edge of the lot right now looking. Now we're looking east. So.
Okay. And you're Mr. Anderson?
Yes.
Okay, why don't you tell us real quick? I know we've got a couple folks that are interested in that. Why don't you tell us exactly what it is your plans are? I know they went through that.
That's the gist of it is that we were wanting to expand for parking, just have a little bit more room, and where the properties connect right now, there's an old fence back there that doesn't look very
good. Where the cursor is now, right?
Yeah,
okay.
Right through there.
Uh-huh.
That would be taken out, and then a new fence would be added to the rest of the property on the property line.
So basically everywhere except where Crawford's Automotive and Towing.
That's correct, yes.
Right, there'll be a fence.
So everything on the automotive side and things of that nature also would be concealed also and kind of a barrier between the residential area also. We would, like you stated earlier, we would like to have a secondary entrance where the driveway is right now, but the primary entrance is going to be between the two, right through the
So you plan on using that entrance most of the time, the secondary entrance if you need to?
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, our office is up there, you know, it wouldn't make any sense to drive over there and then have to turn around and come back up to the office.
How wide how wide are those two entrances planned on being through the fence, just like
Wide enough for one of the tow trucks to get through. You'd probably be looking around about 10-foot, 5-foot gates, full gates.
On both of those, the primary and the secondary?
No, the primary is just going to be completely open. There's not actually going to be anything in there. It's just going to be a drive-through. It's just going to encompass both properties together.
Which way will those gates swing?
They'll probably have to swing inward.
Okay.
They would be right on the highway, if not.
I agree. I'm just asking questions before they get asked.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Anything else you want to add?
Nothing I know of.
Okay. We've got a couple of the folks to speak. Just stay close, and we may have some other questions for you. Richard Jackson.
Mr. Chairman, I am here as a resident to that piece of property.
Okay.
Or close to that piece of property.
So you're in that subdivision?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
We've lived in that subdivision for approximately 23 years. We moved in because it was a stable residential neighborhood. Several of the owners in that area have vacant lots. Next to their property. I have a vacant lot. I have a nice big garden next to mine. Neighbor across the street has a vacant lot behind his property. He uses his vacant lot for his laterals. Now we've got sewer, so he doesn't have to that. Another lot behind there, joining a house, he uses that as a grandchildren's play yard. And I guess what I'm getting at, if I may.
Sure.
We've all got extra land. This property has a lot of extra land that could be utilized for a parking area. There's where I'm getting at right there. I'm not trying to stop there. I've got more to this than just that. Now, I believe that if it hadn't been for some bad advice, that piece of property would still be a residence. It burnt down about 3 years ago, and the people that owned it got some bad ideas or bad information from a realtor. A realtor told them that they could get $60,000 for that vacant piece of property because it was a level lot and it had frontage on two streets. I think a realistic price then would have been $20,000, and I'm guessing that's probably about what the price the house went for today. I also feel that if a fence goes up, it's going to affect all of these houses in this area. And I don't mean favorable. I mean not favorable at all. Because it looks, it's going to look bad. We've got a good buffer. We've got a residential lot buffering us from Crawford's. Crawford's been a good neighbor, as far as I'm concerned. I've known Mr. Anderson just a few months, but Bruce Crawford, the owner of Crawford's originally, his kids and my kids went to school together. They were in the band together. I'm very, very proud of knowledge with Crawford. However, I have been awakened several times by engines revving from Crawford's. Not during their 7 to 5 hours, but after hours, Saturdays, Sundays, at nights. Now, I've caught several of the Crawford employees walking behind my house in this area, dumping sludge and oil using 5-gallon buckets. I confronted them. Well, they said, what else do we do with it? We carry it down there. Now, 3 times this has happened, and this is just while I was there watching.
I don't want to interrupt you, but I do want to clarify something. There are 2 parcels now. I don't know if you know that, the Crawford's Automotive and Crawford's Towing, and we are dealing with Crawford's Towing, not Automotive today. Just so, okay, yes. Go continue.
Are they under the same ownership?
They are not. And if you'll notice on the, show them where the property lines are split.
We've got the towing.
Right here's
yes.
Our property.
See, the property actually that you pointed out is not part of Crawford's Towing. Okay. So anyway,
but
go ahead.
It was within the last 6 months?
It has been split maybe 6 or 8 months ago.
It's
probably a year. I don't recall how long ago it was when we split that. But continue. I just wanted to make sure you knew we were talking about towing and not automotive.
But at this time, it was all one. When they were carrying the sludge back there.
Okay.
Also, I saw where Crawford's drivers, the towing drivers, go through the church parking lot. We have a church adjoining right to the north of their property. Made a shortcut into the neighboring church's parking lot and ran into the church. Now, I've got a fence right here. I think the towing company has put up a little fence right here. Nice fence.
Mm-hmm.
But the church has extended the fence. I'm wondering, why is the church extending their fence? I guess I'm just wondering, as Crawford's, I used to have a good neighbor, and I question that now because some of the incidents have gone on recently. The truck running into the church. Why have we got a big fence up there to protect ourselves? I've got one other thing, and I'll sit down. The original builder of this property is the one that developed most of this area, sold lots. He also had covenants on all the properties back here. We had restrictions that we were given when we bought the property. And those restrictions do not allow for a parking lot.
Okay. Just for your information on that, sir,
yes, sir.
On any residential or subdivision covenants,
yes,
that's not something that we take into account, but you certainly can deal with that on a civil level if you decide to do so as a subdivision. That's something that I know we've had that happen a lot.
This doesn't affect.
No, we look at our code overall, but we don't take subdivision covenants into account when we're looking at zoning practices.
Thank you very
much.
But
you certainly have an avenue to do that. Thank you. Frida Sindorf?
I'm going to add to my neighbors. I live at the end, down at the northwest. Yes, that's my house. And Mr. Jackson's is the one next to us. Unfortunately, yes, the house did burn down about 3 years ago. And what he said was, everything he said about the value and all that, we had checked into it, and it was really thrown up there real high. My concern is it's encroaching further into the neighborhood. I mean, we have, there's just 9 houses in there, but it, I mean, it's still, we got the house on the corner of Calvin and Bee Creek was rezoned about probably 10 years ago, I think, commercial. The people put a video business in there, and that since went under. But, you know, we kind of fought that at that time because that was already encroaching into our neighborhood there. And at the time, all of us had kids, and it affected the bus stop. It affected everything. Right now, we get a lot of traffic. Not a lot. I won't exaggerate. There are a number of customers of Crawford's, as it is, that use the automotive, that come out and turn right and come down into the neighborhood thinking it goes through and turn around in our driveways and whatever. And, you know, we still have kids that come and visit or, you know, the neighbors that live there. You talk about the lighting not being direct or whatever. Well, it might not be direct, but if you illuminate it, it still provides a lot of illumination into the neighborhood. And I'm going to use the example of Tri-Sun Storage. They put up a place on Bee Creek. It is so bright, and it goes out into the road. Even though those are not pointed into the road, it goes into the road, and it's like you're living in the city when you're in the county. And I don't want to see that happen to our neighborhood. And I have to agree with Richard as far as the towing and hearing the tow trucks during the night and cars being brought in. And they do utilize that parking on Calvin is utilized by both the automotive and the towing because they'll bring cars and stuff in there and tow, plus the customers for the automotive use that parking lot. It's just not the towing or just not the automotive, at least from my experience and what I've seen. And the fence, my whole thing is just that it's encroaching further into our neighborhood. We would like to see another house put back there because it is a residential area and it has been. I've been there not quite as long. We've been there almost 20 years. And, you know, we bought it because it's a dead-end road, no traffic, and then, of course, we experience cars that just, you know, they don't know to turn back out to Bee Creek. But I don't know. They split the property, but like Mr. Jackson said, I don't know if something can be done to where that property just to the southeast of the towing parking lot that's already there can be expanded into that. It's open. It wouldn't be taking down any trees in front of Crawford's. They're all at the south end. And utilize that piece of property instead of expanding it into an already residential area. I have to look at our covenant that we have. I didn't have a chance to look at it. I should have, as far as what is supposed to be allowed and not allowed, as far as commercial property. I know there was an agreement made years ago when Crawford's built originally there, as far as getting the okay to build there from the residents. That was right before our time, though. So I don't know, 6-foot fence, it's not very high. It's not going to stop the illumination into coming into the neighborhood, the traffic. I don't like the idea that they want to put a gate there also that even though they might not use it part of the time, I mean, most of the time it would still be utilized. It will be by the corner. It's going to be a blind spot if you're coming up from Richards and my house up there. If there's somebody pulling out of that, I mean, if it's that close to the corner, it's going to be blind with a fence there. We won't be able to see to when we get ready to turn the corner there. I don't know. I just think there might be another option for them to put their parking in. So that's what I have.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Anderson, if you want to come back up, if the commission has any questions for you.
The road frontage there, who owns that? The property?
The spot that they were talking about could be utilized as parking?
Yeah, that area right there.
That is Bruce Crawford. He owns that land. He does not own the business anymore. I purchased the towing business from him almost 5 years ago and purchased the land from him almost over a year ago, around about a year or so. As far as parking goes, on my land, I have no more availability. I mean, if they don't want me to put a gate back there, I'll be happy not to put a gate back there. I mean, if they want me to put an 8-foot fence, I'll put an 8-foot fence. I don't have the option to do anything different other than purchase something elsewhere, and that's just not going to be feasible for my business. I need to be there where the cars are going to be. As far as the traffic coming in and out of Crawford's Automotive, there's nothing I can do about that. That's not my business. It's not my property. Occasionally, we do drop a vehicle off there for them to work on if a customer does want us to bring a vehicle up there, you know. As far as engines revving during business hours, I mean, we are a 24-hour service, just like any other towing company. Being on that lot or the other lot is not going to make a difference. I mean, you're still going to hear it. I mean, you can't get away from that. As far as sludge being dumped on my business, we don't have sludge. We don't have anything. You know, I have oil that I drain out of my trucks, change oil, and I dump it in Crawford's Automotive oil burning heater. I mean, they utilize that.
Okay, and there was a fence built. I don't really have a question for that.
There was a fence built between the two, yes. Yeah. And that was a that was something that I had already planned on doing, was building to expand, to put a fence behind my building and on the side of my building. That way I could have a little bit more room. And then the church saw that I was doing that, and we both spoke, and we are on very good terms. The decision for them to extend the fence to the front was because the yard maintenance crew that they have that take care of the land kicked up a rock and busted out a $400 window mine. So they thought it would be better to put up a fence than ever have
just a comment, generally my experience is folks prefer a fence. Between your business, that's why we have it in our code. But not everybody's different, you know, so we understand that some people don't like that. But we generally just try to follow what our code says, which is a 6-foot privacy fence.
Sure.
And then follow that along, because that has been, in general, what has been most accepted.
Sure.
I live over there, too. Actually, we're pretty close neighbors. I'm just around the corner. So I noticed that fence just went up, too. But that obviously is both landowners' rights to do that.
Exactly. And I am, you know, truthfully, the fence is on my property, and I allowed them to put it up. You know, I mean,
sure.
It's something that we were
deciding. Well, it seems
on.
Like it was beneficial to both of you.
It was,
so that's,
you know. We just thought it would look nice, you know. And
okay.
I'm trying to make it look nicer for the future. And, you know, I mean, there's things that I want to do to increase the business and the look of the business and the professionalism of it. You know, I mean, it's just
okay.
That's what I'm striving to do.
Did we miss a question, ma'am?
I just wanted to know. You said Bruce still owns that property. What part? You don't own Crawford's also?
No, hon. See where it's an L shape there that cuts in behind. It's kind of a weird setup because the towing business.
Go ahead and speak to us if you don't mind.
Sorry.
That's okay.
The towing business utilized the pen that was located behind Crawford's Automotive. So this section here.
You can come around if you need to see it better, too.
And so the whole front section with the trees and the grass and the parking area on the, which would be the south side, is not mine. I do not own that.
So who owns that business?
That would be Elijah Kennedy.
He just owns the land. Okay.
Yeah, Bruce just owns the land.
The church running into
a truck was a mistake. Driver pulled through there, came through on our side, and there was a vehicle pulling out of our driveway, so they decided to pull down and make a loop and come back. The church parking lot was clear. There was no services going on. They drove underneath the overhang of the church, and the boom of the wrecker was up about 2 inches too tall and caught their overhang, and we made amends for that.
Okay.
and they were...
Okay, that's, yeah, and that, honestly, that's not something that, I mean, it's not something we take into consideration when we're zoning. As a matter of fact, generally speaking, a fence would be a another good thing in that case.
Can I say, well, I don't know how this...
Well, we don't generally do it like this, but okay. But if we...
I just wanted to say, it's not the fence, but it's just coming more into the...
Yes, we...
That's our...
I think, you ever, did all the commissioners understand that? We want to make sure we understood that, I think, but did you all understand that point from Ms. Sindorf? Okay. Any other questions for the applicant?
At the current time, the piece of property that you're talking about doing this with is part of the subdivision. Is it lot in the subdivision?
I suppose it is, yes. 6 and 7, I'm guessing, is what they had said.
And one more question. What's your flow of business? I mean, how many cars you pick up a day and our trucks or whatever?
You may have... three cars a week that come into that lot.
Okay.
There's a lot of vehicles that we retain to either sell parts off of or, you know, I mean, just that I utilize on vehicles that I fix up. If I have two vehicles that are the same, I have one running drives, I might hold on the other one for a little while before I... you know, to rob some parts and make one good vehicle and sell, and then we'll haul the other one to the scrapyard. But,
that's during the business day, correct?
Excuse me?
That's always during the business day.
Yeah, that's always during the business day. The only thing that we would have after hours is possibly a tow truck coming in and dropping off a vehicle from an accident. You know, if a police calls us and we have an accident, that's all that area would be utilized for, was the for accident calls in... mainly
you're not going to be storing, and I'm going to use this word very loosely, but just junk cars back there?
No.
To take parts off of?
No. We may have one there for a while, because if no one comes and picks up that vehicle, then we have to send out registered letters within 10 days to let them know that that vehicle is there, and then we have to wait, state law, up to 30 days to keep that vehicle until it becomes ours. Once it becomes ours, then we crush it.
So,
or we get a title for it and we resell it.
So your intent is not to store parts cars back pull carts off?
The only thing, I mean, we may possibly have a vehicle back there for up to 3 months, though.
Because of the state
statutes. For the state statutes to be completed. And then we would have to take the vehicle up to Troop D and get it inspected and things like that.
And today... that happens in your regular lot?
Yes.
Without the fence?
Everything happens in our regular lot, just like it does now.
Okay. Any other questions?
Would you be opposed to not having a driveway on the street side?
That'll be fine. If that is going to become an issue, I have complete access through my other lot. I can put up a fence all the way through. It doesn't matter.
And you're not opposed to having an 8-foot fence?
That's fine also. Yeah.
And that's up to the commission.
Right.
That looks less like a, in my opinion, that looks less like a subdivision when it starts to be 8-foot fence. But
I think a fence around that looks less like a subdivision at all. I think we're encroaching into the subdivision. Pardon me, sir, but this is encroachment into our subdivision.
Okay.
This is a residential subdivision of families that have been there for 20 years.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
One more question I've got, and is the rest of your property part of that subdivision? Is it lots?
It would have been in the beginning, yes. All that would have been.
Yeah. Okay.
Crawford's.
All the way to the highway.
Yeah. All the way to the highway. It was all done by Mr. Hall, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
That was all.
Any other? Yes.
I have a concern with if you could zoom that back in, Scott, and I realize that. See how the road is coming encroaches on the corner of the property there in the south.
Right.
The corner of the property. If you put up a solid board fence or whatever type fence, it will create a hazard in the sight line as far as people pulling up and going around that corner. Something's going to keep them behind it.
But if you didn't have a driveway, it would not.
You're right.
Well, I read it, but you're going to put up a fence completely around the property. correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The buffer, which is going to be a requirement.
Right.
That's going to create another hazard in a sight line on that corner, which right now you can see around them because there's nothing there. It's a big obvious. But you create a so to speak, blind corner right there.
Yeah, somebody's going west on
somebody's
Calvin.
Keep in mind if there's
and out on Calvin.
I know
that
your property
is
right there.
You are. So one of the suggestions is to move that in.
Yeah.
Randy, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, angle that corner slightly. I realize right now the road may be encroaching. I don't know. It may have been that encroaching that way for years.
Well, you could slope the fence like the road is.
Angling the fence right here on that corner just so I didn't catch the blind.
Okay. I'm not really exactly sure where that junction's in at.
Well, the picture could be 30 feet off.
That's what I've been told.
Well, I realize that there may be a little slippage with that. But
I would not be opposed to doing a angle there to make the vision better.
No matter where it's 45.
Okay.
Sure.
So you're I think that answered your question or concern. At least if it was approved, he wouldn't be opposed to that. But that's something you guys will decide next week.
Whether it be chain link, solid wood, whatever he prefers there, I mean, that's...
You don't solve me this week.
Issue being right on the edge of the road.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions for the applicant?
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you. See you next Monday. Le Moyne Bed and Breakfast, as we said earlier, was withdrawn, and we do have some old and new business, I know for sure, because Mark Campbell's here for that. Do we have anything else?
Nope, not this time.
Okay. Earlier today, I gave you an application for concept for Division 3 for a chiropractic office, and Mr. Campbell is here to visit with us about that. If you'd like to come on up and briefly tell us what you're requesting of the commission. And then I'll fill them in a little better.
Okay. Today I visited with Mr. Ashley, and because I wanted to be involved in the concept hearing next week, and he informed me that he'd already notified everybody and that I would have to wait till basically the end of March to get through. And he recommended that I just come and ask you tonight if I could be heard next week.
Okay. I spoke for the – and here's where we are, the commission – just stay up here close in case we have some questions for you. The commission, Mr. Ashley thought it would be prudent for you guys to decide whether we would hear this. And one of the first questions that he had, and I talked to him today about it, was he thought there was a deadline in our code for concepts, which there is not. It's on our calendar, from what I understand. November 28th is generally this week, I believe, this time was the deadline, somewhere at the end of November. Mr. Campbell missed that deadline. We do have you will have your February meeting, which is reserved for codes and that type of thing. So that pushes him all the way out till actually a decision in March and April. So he's asking if we could take a look at this and go ahead and approve him, since it's not against our code, to be listened for concept next week. I asked Bob if it was a problem with the staff to get that done, if they were overloaded. He indicated it was not. He seemed to think that it would be fine, but he wanted to leave the decision up to the commission. So that's what he's asking for. And what I'm looking for is a motion or a suggestion to move forward one way or the other.
I would make that. We've done it in the past. Yes. It's not an imposition on the staff. We've done it for years.
Okay.
In cases like that, and we have the authority to do it.
Okay. We've got a motion to go ahead and hear this concept next week. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
I
did ask him about that. The notices will be fine from the public notice standpoint. We don't need to notify for the concepts. We're fine as far as the law goes.
Just for the public.
We don't want to run out of time.
Right. I did ask him that. I just forgot to mention that. Sorry. Any other questions?
Good point.
Okay. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We'll see you next week.
Thank
concept.
You. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Anything else?
Yeah.
Nope.
I do have something.
Nope.
You know, I'm not being real critical. Bonita, yeah. Do we need to have these?
We do.
We do.
Do you want the long explanation?
Sure.
We, Stone County. There's a short explanation for you. And the loss of their public and planning and zoning because of a scoring system. We have to score. And if we don't score...
How many does it have to be in our packet?
Yes. Okay. We tried to do this, the chair and vice chair, and they, yeah, I know it's a lot of paper.
We didn't do it for a long time.
Yeah.
We voted it out.
But we pretty much had to get it back in.
And I'm with you. It's a bucket. Yeah.
It is. But today, the way it is, we have to use it, and they have to provide them. So.
I got one other question, too, on this Crawford towing deal. Now, the planning and zoning did not exist when that part of the subdivision got turned commercial, did it?
No, it did not. Crawford did not build that building. The building was already in place, and he bought it and made it into a garage.
It was a horse barn.
That's right.
And there was a doctor built that.
However, we have split that.
Your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we've already talked about your stuff. You have something else?
Is that all done and gone? Is everybody gone?
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, you're late.
It's not voted on yet.
I thought you started 7.
6.
It's not voted on yet.
Now, votes next week. They've got some questions, so they're going to be working on some.
Anything I need to address while I'm here? You got any questions for me?
I think most of it is questions for next week, but we really can't open that one back up. But, Randy, do you have...
The one question I got, and they said you were dealing with the entrance permit with MoDOT. That will be a commercial entrance that transport trailer can access and not cause any problems.
Okay. That you just want to confirm that?
Yeah. If you want to see it, it's all marked out. He's got it painted on the asphalt, both sides of the...
Rick Aroni.
I mean, it's MoDOT.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
He's done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Glad you got a short night.
Short nights are good. I guess that's it. Nothing else, right?
Nope.
No. Okay, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, what are we going to do if you're going to leave?
Well, next week the vice chair will have to run the meeting.
Can we vote for the president tonight while you're...
I believe that generally is done January and the January meeting, correct?
I think so.
And that's probably the best thing to do.
Let's go home.
Okay, so the vice chair will run next week, and then after that you all will get a chair and vice chair. Is that right?
Elect officers in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, if you're not here next week and Rick comes down with the flu, what do we do? I'm not wishing anything on you.
Well, some...
Temporary.
I think it's temporary, the point.
It would be no different than any other meeting I've missed, you know, during the year.
Unless Rick missed
it,
too.
I've never seen you both gone.
Well, Rick was gone one night, and I filled in.
Yeah, I think you just had somebody fill in, as long as you got a quorum.
Temporary appointment.
If you've got a quorum...
I don't think there's anything in our code against that.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a quorum, you can the board can pick an interim chairman
right.
for that meeting.
Yep, that would be the proper way.
That answered my question.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? You guys are really trying to stretch this out, aren't you? I got cake. We got cake.
I make the motion to adjourn.
Okay. A second? Okay, we are adjourned.